We are live with another edition of the Fraudcast. We are live from the Fraud Quarters.
Except it's not really going to be live by the time they listen to this.
Well, we're
let's
live.
Be honest
we're
with each other.
Person right
we
now.
Are live right now. Yeah. We're alive and it's
we are alive and live.
Not time traveling.
We've got quite a production going on. Vince orchestrated basically like the G12 economic summit at this point. This is your ear rapist, Ben. Blogger extraordinaire, Vince, is here.
Hey-o.
We're going to have a big roll call. Brendan's here.
Yeah!
Brett is not here. Fake Brett's here.
Hey.
We have Justin Halpern from Shit My Dad Says.
Hey.
And we have soundboard extraordinaire Wakas on the line as well.
Hey, friends.
Yes. Wakas, thanks for joining us. He is going to go on mute with his microphone, and he's actually going to man the soundboard from his satellite in outer space. That's where you are, correct?
That's exactly right. Vince has been bitching for the last two Fraudcasts about how he can't work his mouth and work the fraud board at the same time, so I'm going to help him.
I'm not an octopus or a squid or any of those things. I only have two limbs with opposable thumbs on them.
Or a ventriloquist.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it seems to be like a ventriloquist.
And Shannon and Birthday Dog got your back.
Let's hear that dog bark again.
No, he's locked in the bathroom. He's gone.
All right. Well, you had your chance.
All right, Wakas, thanks for joining
us. I'm switching over to sound effects mode. You will not hear me anymore. Godspeed, friends.
All right. We wanted to give a shout-out to the mighty Feckler. He's one of the original film drunkers. I don't know. Get well soon, Feck.
We're pulling for you, Fecky.
Yeah, the Klingon flags are flying at half-mast for you.
And again,
he's not dead.
Well, whatever. That's how Klingons tribute. They don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't know enough about Klingon culture.
Yeah, I don't. You're right.
So shut your mouth.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that one.
So we're going to talk to Justin. Thanks, everyone. We got a lot of emails, both about the Twitter fiction as well as the funny movie theater incidents. So thanks, everyone, for that. And then later in the show, we're going to bring on Bernsey to do Bernsey's Corner, I believe.
Yes, that's probably going to be a disaster because I'm going to be drunk by then. But
booyah.
Hey, does Drunk Expat Writer know that we make fun of him? Because I'm sort of upset that we haven't, brought out a really angry response from him yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, when he ignites his Twitter followers, we will rue the day that we got him going.
Before we started, this is probably more relevant to Ben than Justin, but I was watching, I don't know if you guys saw Curb Your Enthusiasm this week, but the plot is that Larry has a lawyer, and he's like driving down the street, and he sees his lawyer riding a motorcycle, and he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, I've never seen a Jew riding a motorcycle in my life. And then he finds out that his lawyer's not Jewish. And, of course, the first step to finding out that his lawyer's not Jewish is that he's riding a motorcycle. And that's relevant to our friend Ben, because
I'm a motorcycle riding Jew.
He is.
I'm a ear raping son of a bitch motorcycle riding Jew. But we do have
Justin. Not a lawyer.
I am not a lawyer. Justin, what is going on down in the land of Southern California?
Not too much. Since I last talked to you guys, my show was canceled. So there's that. And rightfully so. It was kind of shitty.
How many episodes made it to air?
Oops.
18 made it to air. We had 18 episodes in our first and only season.
Has it made it to DVD?
Did you get a cake on the 15th episode? Like, you had a big party? Like, 15th episode, woo!
Only 85 more to syndication. No. We didn't get shit. At the 15th episode, CBS was like so checked out. They were like, you guys are still on? Oh, fuck.
Wasn't it getting decent ratings, though?
It was getting decent ratings, but it was like, I don't know. It was one of those things where it was getting decent ratings, but I had never met anyone who actually watched it.
Hey, so, hey, Justin. Justin. This is Brendan. Hi.
Hi, Brendan.
Hey, buddy. I never watched it. I can tell you that now. I'm sorry.
Dude.
I never imagined all 6'6" of you sitting at home watching Shit My Dad Says on a Thursday night.
Okay.
To be fair, I haven't met anyone that watched like Big Bang Theory or Two and a Half
yeah,
Men.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, I mean, like half the shows.
That's true. Maybe they outsource it to India or something, and they just have them watching it in Nielsen boxes. I don't really know how it works.
I went on one date with a girl who said she watched Two and a Half Men.
Was that the last date?
That was the last date, yes.
Yeah, Justin, have you met anyone that watches any of those shows?
No.
Because Two and a Half Men
but
was...
hopefully... What?
I was just going to say, Two and a Half Men was the number one show, at least comedy, forever. And I don't know anyone that has actually watched even one entire episode, let alone every single week.
You know how I know when a show is like people don't like it? It's when you're on like an airplane and they play the show and people take off their headsets like they'd rather stare at the back of their chair. Oh,
did you actually see that happen?
Than watch like the show that's on TV.
Did Shit My Dad Says make it on an airplane?
Yes, we did make it on an airplane.
Ooh, that's something.
And yeah, that was something. I never actually, like, every once in a while I'd look at a tweet and be like, oh God, somebody tried to force me to watch this on an airplane. I was like, fuck that. Like I could have gone without you at replying me that, but
yeah, I love when someone like if you're gonna talk shit, that's fine, but don't fucking at reply me when you're doing it.
Twitter etiquette, yeah. Twitter etiquette, guys, come on.
That's like when some guy that was that had friended me on Facebook put something up on his like put a status update and was like it was like some link from Film Drunk being like and then he did that thing where you can put the other person you can tag the person in the post. So then like one of his friends is like, oh yeah, that's all right. I kind of think Film Drunk sucks, like Warming Glow's better, blah blah blah. And I was like, dude, could you just wait till I'm not tagged in the post before you say that?
Well, it's true though.
Like I'm okay with you saying that, just I don't really want to hear it.
But you liked that comment.
Yeah, I did. Well, it's yeah. True. Yeah.
And all of your friends liked it too.
Yeah. Well, that's how they are.
So 18 episodes came and went. Now what is going on? You
burned the place to the ground, right? As soon as they fired you, you're like, yeah, yeah. Well, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you. And then you kicked over a water cooler and you got out of there, right?
Not you.
No. What? I'm actually a writer on the show that is literally replacing my show. It's a show called How to Be a Gentleman. It's on Thursdays at 8:30 on CBS, like exact same time slot as Shit My Dad Says. So as my cousin tried to tell me, he said that it was basically by me taking this job. It was like letting someone fuck my wife in front of them and pitching ideas on how they could fuck my wife better.
It's exactly like that.
I had my fingers crossed for Shit My Mom Says, but that's just me.
A more apt analogy I've never heard than, you know, improving your cuckolding skills.
Well, the funny thing was, is like every single family member, because I got married like literally like a few days after I found out it got canceled, and like every single person at my wedding like came up to me and instead of being like, oh, that sucks, sorry your show got canceled, they were like, you know, the reason it got canceled was the kid who played the lead fucking sucked. Or like they would like tell me some reason why. And I was like, ah, oh, God. And so instead of making, like, you know, you go table to table kind of like saying, oh, thanks for coming to the wedding, it was just like getting roasted at every table at the wedding.
What was the common theme from your family and invitees? What was their biggest complaint about the show?
Well, it was part of my dad's toast that the show sucked. So, like,
thanks, Dad.
Yeah, he was. So he was like, the book was great. What went wrong? Kind of thing. I'm like, how about just like you're happy for me and my wife to get married?
Hey, you owe your career to that man.
Yeah, no, he can do whatever he wants. He can come in my house and share my bed, and I'm fine with it.
The new show has it been picked up, or is it you're working on the pilot?
No, it's been picked up. It's airing in the fall. We're working on other episodes. It's actually got like a really cool cast. I think it could be a good show. It's got a guy from It's Always Sunny who plays like the crackhead on It's Always Sunny, and like Rhys Darby who plays Murray in Flight of the Conchords.
Brint? Prisoned?
And it's and the star of the show is Johnny Drama, is Kevin Dillon.
Does he play Johnny Drama? Because I'm pretty sure that's sort of what he does now.
he's basically playing that. Like, I'm not even sure. Like, but he's not used to, like, multi-camera sitcoms, so apparently, like, on the pilot, he's like, dude, there's a lot of fucking cameras here. Like, yeah, man, there's just a bunch. There's also a live audience. And
I imagine him doing that thing where he, like, taps you on the shoulder, and then he looks over each of his shoulder, like, dude, one over each shoulder. There's a lot of fucking cameras here. Which one do I look into? This one?
That man signs my checks, basically. So he's a saint.
I mean, is he Matt Dillon's older brother or younger brother?
You know, I have no idea. I think he's younger.
He looks younger, I think.
That was my response too. Like, he's younger.
if he says something smart, do you ever just go, man, I ain't never seen fucking brains like that before. Have you? From Platoon.
Platoon, yeah. Where he beats the kids. Bunny. That was his best role. Yeah, it was Bunny and Platoon.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good role.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to have a ton of dealings with him. I'm probably going to be just up in the writer's room trying to write jokes for him, but I don't get to, like, talk to him that much.
Just don't look him in the eye. That's in his contract. Right. I saw that.
I think it's funny how every celebrity has some rumor about somebody not being able to look them in the eye.
I thought that was every celebrity. I thought that was in every celebrity contract regardless.
I honestly, like, I never heard anyone say that out loud, but there was quite a few times when I was, like, being a PA just for, like, random really shitty infomercials and commercials. There was quite a few times where I got looks where I could just feel in their looks like, oh, you're not supposed to interact with the talent like that, or, you know, just keep your head down and keep walking, buddy. And I wasn't like I was, hey, can I have your autograph? It was like, you know, I randomly, I don't know,
said hello.
Yeah, basically. And I could just feel hot stares on me every time I did it.
Oh my god, he's talking to them. Yeah. Fuck.
I don't know if I told this story before, but I was on some stupid golf infomercial for, I can't even remember what it was for.
Was it for some crazy hybrid club?
No, it was just like some guy named AJ who was teaching. He was actually had some really good lesson advice to give on golf. But yeah, and he had Al Troutwig, who's kind of like a somewhat known sports guy. Have you ever heard of him?
Nope.
You
probably would know his voice. He's kind of, you know, he's not like one of the major ones, but probably thinks he is.
And by not major, you mean very, very minor?
Yeah. Well, okay. He probably, you know, he's one of those guys that thinks he's one of the big shots or something. And they're all sitting around telling golf jokes. And I've played golf since I was like 9, so I know. And I'm a comedian, so I know a lot of golf jokes, oddly enough.
Smash combo.
Yeah. Yeah. And I they were just, you know, they're telling golf jokes, and I happened to pipe up with one, and I got like 3 words out of my mouth, and I could just feel everybody in the room staring at me. Like, and I was like, oh man, this fucking joke better be good. But it was good. No, it was good. But like, there was a good like 30 seconds where I thought I was going to get fired if the punchline didn't hit right.
Good thing you're a comedian.
Yeah.
And a golfer.
Saved.
You know what I mean?
The golfing comedian.
I want you to make me one with everything.
So this week, I think I had thought about it because I was at the Metreon, the IMAX theater, where I witnessed a pretty funny movie incident. So Vince hit up the Drunkards, and we got a overwhelming response of emails.
Oh, I had a quick one after we put this up.
Oh,
it was not. It's less to do with weird movie incidents, but I'm sure you guys have had this experience.
Well, mine was pretty quick.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You go ahead.
Mine was pretty quick. So I was in the Metreon. For those of you that know San Francisco, a big IMAX theater in there. Don't remember exactly what it was. It was probably about a year or two ago. It was either The Dark Knight or maybe Transformers 2.
Maybe Inception.
Maybe Inception. It might have been. Yes, that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sweet. Was waiting for that.
All right.
That's why we have a soundboard.
That's why we have a soundboard guy.
That's why we have a soundboard guy. He's floating in a satellite orbiting the Earth. So he always
like Superman 2, just in that square.
that like Rubik's Cube thing.
Yeah. This
fuck you, fucking quiz.
I like this. We're really stepping it up a notch. There was a large, heavyset lady, I believe of Latino descent, and she sat down with, I don't know if it was she special ordered an even larger tub of popcorn than they normally have. I mean, it seemed like a trough almost. The only thing missing was handles that you could put on each side that it would just sit.
You can bathe a normal-sized child in most of the popcorn
tubs. Well, it was large.
And you should.
And she put a small Dixie cup in the cup holder next to the tub of popcorn. The Dixie cup was filled with what? Butter. It was filled with butter, and she was individually dipping the popcorn kernels into the butter, like ranch dressing or ketchup.
Peace up. Look at this.
I was looking at it like that. Like I was looking at it like a man's fist going in another man's butthole. And I was like staring.
They
like,
the anus.
And she was sitting right next to me, and it was blowing my mind. Like I had never even thought anything like this could ever happen.
Eat that boo-boo.
And she dropped one of the kernels in there. And no, she did not leave it. She fished it out. This was an individual kernel just marinated head to toe, dripping in individual butter.
Was she like a glossy finish up to her elbows after that was done?
And then she licked her fingers, right?
Oh, she was licking her fingers every time.
That's what I would have done.
It was a Dixie cup filled to the brim with that with the butter that comes out like ketchup. Right. Oh, it blew my mind.
She probably looked like a seal covered in baby oil when she came out of the theater.
She was a heavy set.
Was it a 3D movie?
I don't remember. It Brendan's right. It may have been Inception.
Because if you...
No clip?
I said Inception?
All right, we can't get overcome by the soundboard, you know? We gotta do our own thing.
There's a three-second delay going to space. But anyway, that being back in the IMAX theater made me think of that. That was probably one of the crazier things that I'd seen in a movie theater. Brendan had a funny story. Don't know if he's going to want to tell it.
Oh, boy. This one was over private email. I don't know.
It's, well, I already
outed you, basically.
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said what you're going to say on Film Drunk.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I don't read Film Drunk.
Yeah, I know.
I read Warm and Glow, though. It's much
better. See, Justin.
Warm and Glow's way better.
It happens to all of us.
No, I get busy during the day. I don't have time to read it. Yeah. Great. Well, yeah. So basically, what do the listeners know?
Just tell the story. God damn it.
When I was a sophomore in high school, I told this over email and they actually thought it was way funnier than I really realized it was. It was like an offhanded remark. It was like seriously like a one line response in an email thread where I was like, my sophomore year of high school, my girlfriend gave me a hand job to completion during the movie Thinner.
I think to completion is what got me. It wasn't just like I got a hand job. It was got one to completion.
Well, we had to clear. There was like a few emails back and forth. Like, where did it go?
Yeah. Should I pull up the email?
Sure.
Would that be informative if I pulled up the email?
Or just improv, man. Yeah. Just wing it. All right. Tell us what happened.
So Brendan started to tell, and so that just led me to ask many questions, such as, where were you in the theater? How many other people were there? And where did your man seed end up?
Yeah, so it was Thinner. There was no one in the theaters. There was no one.
Really? I thought that was a big blockbuster hit.
Yeah. There was no one there.
Was that Stephen King's Thinner, or does it just call Thinner?
Stephen King. I'm pretty sure at that point he was still, you know, it had to be Stephen King's if he did it, you know. Yeah, and... just, you know, it was a boring ass movie. So, you know, hands got to moving, you know, when you're 15, they just gravitate towards certain areas. Not that much has changed in the 15 years since, but, yeah, so got a nice little dudja.
You know what I mean?
It's a dry HJ.
Yeah. Sorry.
For anybody.
Dry hand job. Did
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know. I think it was like all over the back of the seat or something. I don't
or
remember.
Something.
Yeah, something like that.
And I'm also, I know this, Brendan was probably silent, but I'm also picturing loud.
Yes. No, this is, I was 15. This is before I discovered the joys of the sonic orgasm.
How would that have gone if it happened nowadays?
Suck these jeans. Ah!
Yeah, see?
Good.
Oh, that was good. I didn't even know we had a drop of that.
Yeah.
Whew.
Wow. Justin, any hand jobs to any horror movies?
No. I wish. That sounds awesome. Maybe he could have finished into completion into a Dixie cup and then dipped his popcorn in.
That really would have brought the whole thing full circle, wouldn't it?
That really like, would have. That'd have been.
Sounds like we just gave you a plot line for your new show.
I think
you can use that. You can have that. You can have that, Justin.
Thank you.
That's my gift to you.
When I'm watching that on an airplane in 2 years, I'm going to feel pretty proud.
I wrote that cum joke. No, I think first I just wanted to say something about the fat lady with the butter, because like I think I'm more interested in all the steps it took before she was like, fuck it, I'm just going to put the butter in a Dixie cup. Cause, yeah, like,
I'm not putting it on the popcorn. That gets too soggy. I'd rather individually dip. When she finally realized that's the better way to go.
I would like to think she brought her own monogrammed fondue fork.
Like, I wonder if she was like eating chips and salsa and she's like, this is a really good way to move food to my mouth. I wonder if I can use it in other things.
I'm going to have to incorporate this system into other foods that I eat.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, my weird movie theater story is there was this like $2 theater down by where I grew up that would show movies like that had already run like 3 months ago. And it was like, people would basically, when it was hot in the summer, people would just buy tickets and sit in there. And so I was like, I can't remember how old I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I went to see this movie called Three Ninjas. It was like this terrible
movie. Of course I remember Three Ninjas.
There's like 9 Three Ninjas movies. There's a lot of Three Ninjas movies.
Kickback.
Well, I saw the first because they totally ruined it after the first one.
But, excuse me. Surf Ninjas is famous for having a record scratch before the trailer even begins.
That's how you know hilarity is going to ensue. They should have done that before the Jack and Jill trailer.
They flipped the script before they even started writing it.
Yeah, the next script I write, I'm going to digitally put in that sound effect before people can read it. So I was in this theater, and it was like a hot day or whatever, and it's just like the theater already smelled bad, but then it started smelling like way, way worse, like shit. And I was like, what? me and my friend, we were like 9. We were just thinking, like, what is going on? Like, it smells so bad. And so I, like, walked down to the front, because you could just, like, get up and walk into the theater. Like, people were just, like, shouting stuff and whatever. And I get up in the front, and there's a homeless guy, and he's just taking down his pants, and he's taking a shit in front of the screen, right? And it's not even like, you know, like, you normally you think if you shit in public, like...
Best review Rob Schneider's
ever gotten.
I'm going
to take down my pants, shit really quick, and then I'm going to get out of there. Like, that's normally, I think, anyone who shits in public, probably that's what their MO is. But this guy's taking a shit like you or I would take, like, after a long day at work when you had a magazine. It's just like squatting and shitting and also trying to watch the movie.
Oh, he was facing the screen? Anyway. Like, just, right, I'm going to get a better view whilst...
That was his newspaper.
Well, the reason he could do it is because he had positioned himself so that he was sitting kind of, like, between the aisle, but his leg, because the aisles were close together, his legs were, like, straddling two chairs. So it's just his ass hanging and shit falling out of it. It was like really nasty. I didn't know what to do because I had never seen anything like that before. So I just went back to my seat. And the funniest thing is like this lady came up because like she started walking up because she smelled it too. And then she went and she got the usher. And I guess she told the usher, like, there's a guy shitting in the front of the movie theater. And the usher came out, and it was the best thing because we were sitting close enough we could hear, and the usher's like, walks up to the guy like he's just a normal movie patron. He's like, sir. And he's like, what? He's like, I'm going to have to ask you to stop doing that. And goes, yeah, and then the guy, like he was being told to stop talking, he was like, oh, sorry. And he pulls up his pants, and then he sits with his shitty ass in his pants in the seat with the shit on the ground and watches the rest of the movie, and actually nobody fucking does anything.
Come on, dude. So, well, I mean, the punishment has to fit the crime, and getting kicked out of Three Ninjas seems draconian for someone who all they did was take a shit in the theater.
You didn't want to miss one of the best parts.
You don't want to rob him of that.
It's true. And I don't know why I stayed either. It was like, we're so horrible in this theater.
You're watching Three Ninjas and it smells like shit.
I'm watching.
What else do you need?
I'm watching a Rob Schneider movie in a fart cave.
Hobos shitting where they please.
This is very much the way he was straddling the seats. Very much reminds me of the Cannonball Dookie from Tosh this week. Which,
oh yeah!
As soon as I saw it, I jumped off the couch when I saw it, and I wasn't with Brendan. I wish I had been, because if I would have seen that with Brendan, it would have taken my enjoyment at least 85% higher.
Yeah, I was like, what was I doing? I was out at a bar, and I get these like frantic messages from Vince about Cannonball Dookie. I'm like, okay, take it easy, man. I'm going home soon.
I did not
see
it.
And then when you saw it, was I wrong?
And then when I saw it, I Cannonball Dookie'd off my couch.
Yeah.
I did not see it. Care to explain?
This guy is naked, and his
Cannonball Dookie's pretty much all you need to know.
His friends are like, all right, this is going to be the first ever Cannonball Dookie. And he like runs off the dock, and he jumps, and he does a cannonball. But like in between the time when he leaves the dock and goes into a cannonball tuck, there's a big like turd squirts out of his ass into the water. And then the best thing is there's like a dog at the end of the dock. So he's like, all right, Cannonball Dookie. And he jumps up, farts a big turd into the water, and then he hits the water right about the same time as his dog, which jumps off the dock after the turd.
as dogs should.
Yeah. And it's just pretty, it's amazing in every level, really.
So was your first thought, what's the closest dock I could try that off of immediately?
My first thought was, my God, Brendan has to see this instantly.
Well, thank you. I feel honored.
Yeah.
Were you on that trip that we took to Clear Lake where I took a dump off that dock that was like three stories high?
No.
That was fucking righteous.
Tell me about it. Was
that the best dump of your life?
That was righteous. Yeah. It was like just the... There was something so beautiful and peaceful about the gap between it leaving my butt and hearing the splash. It was this beautiful thing.
It was like you were on ketamine or something, and you're pooping, and you had that pinhole effect where everything seems really far away, like you're pooping, and then it takes so long to actually hit the water, but it actually.
No, I've never taken ketamine, so I don't know what that's like, but it was almost like when Buddha talks about being one with the river, that's kind of what I felt like.
Yeah, you were one with the lake.
I was, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Vince, what...
It
what,
made me one with everything.
You know what I mean?
Vince, what were your movie theater stories?
I didn't have that many good ones, and I really don't have that many good ones. I just have weird people that I see at these press screenings. The press screenings are funny because it's like half... press and then half shut-ins.
Yeah, half people that just want to see a free movie.
Yeah, half people that are on disability that are like probably borderline retarded.
I think I only went to one of the press screenings with Brendan actually for Black Swan.
Yeah,
and it was completely filled. I guess rightfully so for that movie, a little more hype than a lot of them. But yeah, I mean, it was packed with people that must have been there for a couple hours just to see a free movie a week before it came out.
Yeah. There was one of the ones I saw, we were in a big line. This is before I realized that being press allows you to just cut to the front of the line. So we're in one
I didn't realize that either, so I was waiting in line, and then for Black Swan, same thing happened.
Yeah. And so we're waiting in this huge line, and it's doing one of those things where it like snakes along the wall, and then it goes into like a room and around the room and out. And
there's hobos shitting.
And there's this one weird like hobo-looking dude who's at the? He's along the wall at the entrance to right before it goes into the line goes into this room to wrap around, and instead of just following the person in front of him, he's like standing there until there's like a giant, like the line has already passed him by and is, you know, by a good 50 feet or something. And there's almost a fight because the people behind him are like, "Why aren't you going? Go follow the
bro."
And the guy's like, "It's hot in there. I don't want to be in that room."
So he was waiting till the line cleared out of the room.
Yes. And there's like almost a fight. And he thought he could just hold the line until like the entire room cleared out.
Hold the line.
Yeah.
Hold the line.
Hold the line.
He's a big Toto fan.
Love isn't always on time.
I have a friend, our friend Tom. I was driving out of Santa Barbara with him one time, and that song came on the radio, and he looked at me with the most like dead serious look in his face, and he goes, "When I'm elected president, this is the song I'm going to play." Which is funny for so many reasons, because he's not getting elected president.
And that song's like, what, you know, 20, 30 years old now?
Yeah.
All right, I got a couple emails. I like this one just because of the tap out angle. Dear Frogcast, my brother, a sergeant in the Marine Corps, had just gotten back from deployment in Afghanistan and I wanted to treat him to a night on the town complex, on the town, a night on the town complete with drunkenness and iniquity. We decided to see Jackass 3D, a wonderful film, by the way. My brother deemed me the pack mule, as he was already too drunk to function without being above suspicion, much less smuggle a case of booze into the theater. I, being closer to human giant Brendan proportions, found it easy to sneak the beer in. While enjoying a frosty Bush Light before the film, in walks a guy wearing a tap-out t-shirt with a cast on his leg. In retrospect, I'm surprised he was willing to stretch his Ed Hardy jeans over his cast. As he was shuffling by, my brother looks at D-bag tap-out man and says, "I guess you didn't tap." The timing was perfect because my brother delivered it in the aforementioned non-tapper as the aforementioned non-tapper was giving us the Tyler Durden ass slide as he was going down the row. Naturally, non-tapper was unamused. He kept walking, and I thought nothing of it. Later on in the evening, my brother and I spot non-tapper at a bar. In the midst of our stupor, we decided to send a drink over his way to make up for our rudeness earlier. Much to our dismay, non-tapper took the drink as an insult and headed over to give us an earful. After he asked us if there was a problem, my brother explained to him that the drink was a gesture of goodwill. Tapper was having none of it. His insults launched my brother into a slightly annoying yet entertaining Walter Sobchak-esque rant about friends dying face down in the muck so whiny crybaby pussies like Tapper could go tan and go to the gym and then jerk off to Ronnie Coleman. Eventually, the confrontation led to a Eventually, the confrontation led to a fight outside in which non-Tapper was handily defeated, which followed with the cops being called. When two officers, former Marines themselves, saw non-Tapper, one remarked, "You didn't tap, did you?"
that one warmed my heart.
Yeah, and that came from a reader named, obviously, John.
Yeah, well, there's mostly, it's all John's and then Tim Mike.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Mark Tim.
No,
no, it's Mike Tim.
Pretty sure, well, it's definitely a Mike. Is it a Tim?
We got a lot of emails. Most of our emails involved people getting really drunk. I'm like, send me your weird stories. And it's like, oh, so one time I got so drunk and I got fucking passed out and shit myself.
Yeah, a lot of them were people just getting blacked out either before or during a movie. And they're like, fuck, I like woke up 3 hours later. So basically I paid like $3 for a 6 hour nap. That was about 10 of them. One guy from Australia, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Girl, I believe, actually.
Oh, you're right. Jade from Australia. Let's see.
I like the last part, the 121 hours.
All right. Well, I actually like the Tron part. Yeah. Recently, when I went to go see Tron.
Do you know what I mean?
A woman changed a kid's nappy, which is a diaper, on the seat right next to me. Not sure what was worse, the smell of shit or the movie. Zing.
Hi-oh.
You want to
eat that boo-boo?
Did they, which I think it was just a typo, but she said in 121 hours. I'm thinking maybe a time translation to Australia, maybe it's not 127, it's only 121.
127 hours is too long for us, mate. It's just too long.
So they would never see that, but 121.
I can only count to 121, mate.
In 121 hours, some random drunkard started racially abusing a few African youths, so much so that the attendant had to come and remove him. So bizarre, because it was the bit where the arm breaks off, and then there is a guy who is clearly pissed out of his brain yelling, "Black kids go home, ooga booga, ooga booga." And that pretty much sums up Australia, shit and racism.
To be fair, they were eating each other's poo-poo.
Eat that poo-poo!
You can't just blatantly cue him up like that, man.
There's one more that there are a lot of them were a little long, but this one, the Jersey Devil writes us. He says, "Yo, I worked in a few different movie theaters after I got out of high school, and I've cleaned up some interesting things. Lots of common theater horror stories out there, many alcohol bottles and beer bottles or cans, used diapers in the restrooms, puke of all sorts, but a few stand out. A customer grabbed me one time and said, 'Hey man, the men's room looked like someone's died in there. You should check it out.' I mumbled some insecure thanks and went in to discover a thick, fruity slash alcohol slash vomit smell in a sink and surrounding countertop filled with a chunky, dark red mess that looked like someone sacrificed a small animal in there. After a 20-minute bleach fest cleanup, I went back to my usher spot, and when the movie went out, a 20-ish guy came out and apologized for the mess. He had converted his cherry icy into an adult beverage with a couple shots of vodka and pounded it before the movie, then promptly puked it up along with the Chinese food he had earlier. Awesome. My other favorite customer was the Peabag Bandit, as we called him.
This one's good.
About once a week while checking the restrooms, someone would find a used catheter bag full of urine tucked into the baby changing table, rather than tossing in the trash can 2 feet away. Boy, what we wouldn't have given to know who it was so we could use that bag like a water balloon. I love people. The Jersey Devil. I enjoyed that.
I like the idea of just like a nice bag of urine on the changing table.
Well, yeah, like a medical bag because it's from the catheter. Yeah.
This goes there.
Yeah, yeah. This stays right here.
This? It goes there.
It does not go in the trash. It stays
not there. There.
There. This is where it stays.
So, Justin, did you end up seeing Zookeeper this week like we asked?
No, I missed Zookeeper, but it looked really good.
Oh.
Did you see Transformers 3D?
No, I didn't see Transformers 3D either. I didn't see either of those movies, but I think if I was going to have to choose between the two, I mean, what would you guys recommend?
Ooh, you know, well, Ben obviously loves Transformers.
This was a good Transformers. Fair enough. I enjoyed this Transformers. I would say that the second one was pretty awful. The first one was okay. I did enjoy this one. IMAX 3D was pretty cool for this Transformers.
I saw them both. I'm going to have to go with Zookeeper. I feel like at the very least, if you go to Zookeeper, it's just fun to people watch, just to kind of gawk at the other patrons of the theater.
Were there any
themselves.
Talking animals that went to see it?
No.
I don't even remember the last time I watched a movie.
What kind of people, like besides kids, who goes to Zookeeper?
Wait, so did you go to the press screening?
Yeah.
So who waited in this long line through the sauna room?
It was not a. It was a sparsely attended press screening. Oh, I'll really? Say that much. I wrote about it in my review, but there was just a very, very large guy sitting next to me, and he was just dying with laughter at every step of the way. He looked like he was about 20 and 25, and probably on like disability of some kind or.
But he thoroughly enjoyed The Zookeeper.
Yes, he loved
Would
it.
Would you say that he will enjoy any Paul Blart movie? Or is it was it the talking animals that really got him?
You know, it was a lot of like a lot of falling down, pan splitting. He really liked my favorite line was "Gorilla got skills" when the gorilla was hitting on the waitress at Fridays. That was my favorite.
tangentially related.
Oh man, gorilla got skills. He was much funnier than the movie.
Tangentially related, I got a text from one of my football buddies. He goes about three bills, and I got a text from him the other day that said, I blew out the crotch and ass of my khakis while getting into my car with such force that my taint still stings 9 hours later.
What is it, blew out? What does that mean?
Like, he split them. Like,
why does his taint, why does that hurt your taint?
It was like his crotch and ass. It was like the whole thing, like the entire.
So it was like a weird, like, sideways thong where it was just holding on in the taint section?
No, I think he split the seams so badly.
Yeah, he split the seam. The seams were rent asunder with such force that it
hurt. Wouldn't that be taint. More freeing than it would hurt your taint?
Well, I think
maybe because it like they split so fast they like heated up to like dangerous level.
Ooh, exactly.
Okay, I see.
I'm thinking also that's possible. I'm also thinking just the pressure that he exerted was not on purpose onto the seam. So he exerted this enormous, you know, 10,000 foot-pounds of pressure onto the seam, which was not on purpose, and it just split them with such violent force that it and Justin's probably right. It just caused such a reaction that it unleashed fury upon his taint.
Or maybe it was a grease fire in there that caused it to blow out.
That could have been it too.
Like backdraft.
Watch
out for the fire under the door. If you see the smoke, go back under the door, run.
Yeah.
That's what I learned.
My other random story. One of the reasons I love living in San Francisco is just there's always weirdness like around every corner. Like something you just if you walk around in the city you're gonna see something weird happen. So
on that note quickly, I was walking through the park today and I was walking between two people and one of them was a chick doing the thing where she does the hula hoop.
Uh-huh.
And she's doing it while she was reading and listening to like a song and dancing around and while hula hooping. And then about 10 feet to her right was this hobo who had like it looked like he was reading a script. I don't know what it was, and he was just like shouting at whatever paper he had. And they were about 10 feet from each other.
Yeah, that's why I love living in San Francisco, stuff like that. But I was waiting for the bus the other day, and I'm just like minding my own business, and I was actually like reading my Kindle, and all of a sudden like I hear this commotion, and this little chihuahua is hauling ass down the street, and this big fat Latino gay guy is chasing him, and he's going Bambi, stop! Bambi! Bambi, stop! And just chasing it, and it's hauling ass. He can't catch up to it because he can't run because he's running like a girl. And
big fat girl.
Yeah, big fat girl. And so it like it runs all the way into traffic, like into like the main, like Van Ness is like a main street, like with a lot of traffic, and it's like morning rush hour. I was like on the bus or waiting for the bus
to work. It's the 101 freeway.
It's the 101 freeway, and it just hauls ass like into traffic, and this like other gay guy who was like on the other side of the street, like runs into traffic and like starts directing traffic. He's like holding up one hand to like stop traffic, but he's doing it so gay and like so fabulously.
Like Lamar from
yes, he was doing it so fabulously. He was like, stop, no, you know, and like had his hand, but like he didn't just put his hand up. He like put his hand up with like some attitude. You know, there was like some flair when he went like, stop.
Sort of flicked,
you know, like,
flicked the wrist out.
Yeah, there was like
some
a definitely
fingers.
Yeah, there was a little bit of just kind of hot sauce on it, you know, when he did it. It was amazing. Meanwhile, the owner, Bambi's owner, shrieked like a woman. It was amazing. He actually screamed. So it's just like, Bambi, stop! Bambi! Ah!
And then the guy, stop, you
yeah,
go.
And then
no.
The guy, yeah, and then the guy from the other side, no, stop, no, there's a dog. And then like he scooped up Bambi and brought him back. So Bambi survived. So it was a happy ending.
Yeah, that's good.
Stop, chihuahua crossing.
Yeah. There's a dog in the street.
Can't you guys, don't you have any respect for chihuahuas?
It was pretty incredible.
I did have one more email that I liked. I think it'll probably
quickly,
be the last
quickly.
One.
Quickly.
It was the one with Method Man. Did you read that one?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't read that one. I would love to hear about it.
All right. I thought it was pretty fun. It's pretty quick. This is from Pete. So we actually have a Pete listener, not all Johns. I was at the midnight premiere of Transformers 2 in Midtown Manhattan, settling into my seat when I heard an unmistakable voice. I turned my head to see none other than the motherfucking Hot Nicks himself, Method Man.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's not even the best part. Sitting with his kids in the row behind me. After sitting for a good while with a smile on my face.
Which some, ones?
Yeah. Some muscle-necked Guido douche. Sorry, Vince. Sits two seats down from me with a fucking baby strapped to his chest. My former joy was slowly fading as I realized this asshole and his shitty kid could quite possibly ruin my movie experience. I know it's fucking Transformers, but a few things piss me off, like the sound of a crying baby. My mood, however...
It's actually really bad because not only did he bring a movie theater, a kid to the movie theater, this asshole decided that I have to see fucking Transformers so bad that I'm going to go there with a baby Bjorn on my chest.
Yeah, baby Bjorn with a bunch of explosions and robots fighting
this
each other.
This is how desperately I need to see Transformers. That's the part of the story that
scares me. I don't care
me.
how much I ruin everyone else's experience. I need to see it. This is the only time I can go.
I can't wait for Trishelle to come back from the strip club.
Yeah. No, she'll watch him later.
Don't you talk about my angel that way.
My mood, however, would quickly change as within minutes of Mr. Obnoxious sitting down, Method Man leans forward and shouts, now, admittedly, I can't do a good Method Man voice, but he shouts, if that baby starts crying, I'm snitching on your ass.
That's amazing.
The film could have been an hour and a half of Michael Bay taking a shit, and I still would have left the theater happy.
That would have been amazing. I wish he had just yelled like straight torture, like that whole thing, like, I'll fucking
keep feeding. I'll sew your asshole.
I'll sew your asshole shut and keep feeding you.
So eat a bowl of dicks.
So I enjoyed that.
Let that shit sit on the stove for like a half hour.
Well, Justin, we got to get this other asshole Burnsy on because, man, he's just been hassling me for weeks trying to get on. And but thank you for hanging out with us and letting us talk over you with our stupid stories.
Yeah, sorry, we kind of forgot you were here.
Thanks for having me. I'll tell you, I have a good Transformer story. I'll tell next time I come.
No, do it now.
Do it right now.
Yeah, because we'll totally forget.
Okay, I'll do it super quickly. Okay, so you know how in the first Transformers, we used to talk about this all the time, where the first Transformers, there was like that little box that turned like inanimate objects into Transformers, right?
The Allspark.
Yeah, the Allspark, right? And so there's a point in the movie where Optimus Prime's like, Sam, if things get crazy, put the Allspark in me and it'll destroy the Allspark and destroy me. So basically the whole movie is just that Optimus Prime, like, is too much of a pussy to give his life for the entire universe. He's like, only if stuff gets crazy, put it in me, but, like, let's wait and see how I do. So anyway, it was a big point of contention we used to talk about at work. Fast forward to my friend's wasted, and his friend says, let's go to this party in Hollywood. Shows up at this party, he's, like, walking through, and he's walking through the party, he's like, whose house is this? This is a crazy house in Hollywood. Somebody's like, oh, it's Shia LaBeouf's house. And he walks into the backyard, and, like, by himself in his tidy whiteies is Shia LaBeouf in the jacuzzi. He's, like, by himself in the jacuzzi just wearing tidy whiteies. And so my friend's wasted, and he comes up to Shia LaBeouf. He's like, hey, what the fuck was the deal with the plot point in fucking Transformers when Optimus Prime had the Allspark and he could have just destroyed it, but instead he decided to, like, be selfish and, like, try to see if he could beat Megatron or whatever. And so Shia LaBeouf, like, starts getting in this argument with him, right? And he gets heated to the point where Shia, like, jumps out of the hot tub in his tidy whities, like, his dick is just, like, flopping around. He's like, there'd be no fucking movie, man, all right? You just gotta buy it. It's movie logic. and then, like, a crew of Shia's people have to escort my friend out of the the house because Shia got too crazy about Transformers logic.
Get this guy out of here. I can't handle this.
Vince got a Shia LaBeouf hair right now.
Hell yeah. Always do. All right, help me back in the hot tub.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. All right, well, that's a good story.
So that was my quick Transformer story.
We appreciate it.
I enjoyed that. Well, Justin, good luck with the new show. It's airing in the fall?
Airing in the fall, sometime in September.
Sometime in September. Let's get to 19 episodes.
That's fucking wishful thinking, man.
I thought it was going to be a good show.
What?
You said it was going to be great.
I think it's going to be a good show. I do. But, like, I don't know. We're going up against X Factor and, like, Parks and Rec and, ooh, like, a bunch of shit. Like,
The Voice.
Oh, yeah. You're fucked.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, we're going up against, like, every big show.
I didn't know that 100 episodes of syndication. Is that sort of the rule?
Yeah, because that means...
Yeah, if you get to 100 episodes, you can, like, kill another man and get away with it.
Right, and that's what's so funny about, like, they have, like, the 100th episode spectacular, you know? And the thing that's so ridiculous about it is it's, like, the most self-serving thing because it's everyone, like, partying that, like, they're going to start getting, like, royalty checks on the, you know, on
So do you guys have
syndication.
Do you guys have a big, from 100 down to zero, sort of you rip a piece of paper off for every aired episode?
It's like Major League. There's, like, a naked chick and...
Yeah, it's a picture of Brendan naked.
Yeah,
but
the first piece we pull off is his penis.
Yeah,
it's opposite.
It's just him in an overcoat with his dick flopping out.
Yeah.
All right, Justin. Well, anything else you want to pull?
Going down
on
a log flume.
No, we're done.
No, just good to be on.
All right. Thanks, well, thanks for coming on.
Bye,
no
Justin.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I love you.
All right. Thanks, Justin, for coming on. You can maybe find a DVD of Shit My Dad Says, probably in Asia, not in America.
Maybe.
Maybe. And now we have Burnsy on for a whole new segment on the Frotcast called Burnsy's Corner. Did I introduce that right?
Yeah.
I hope
good.
So. The way it's going to work is Vince is going to play a news clip, and Burnsy is going to have, I think, roughly 30 seconds to give Burnsy's peace of mind from Burnsy's Corner on these clips.
And then Wakas is going to do the buzzer remotely.
Well, first of all, Burnsy, thanks for joining the show.
Not too many moving parts.
Hey,
on this.
Thank you for having me again, guys. I'm so happy.
You sound very happy. What sort of news clips are we playing, Vince?
Oh, well, you know, just some news clips.
News clips from around the world.
I didn't want you guys to know what was coming on so I could surprise you. This is all shooting from the hip.
Yeah.
All
right.
That's how we like it.
Yeah. I shoot from the middle of my hip.
I heard that's how they do it in Florida.
Watch out for this guy. Do you know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
All right. So, hey, Burnsy.
What's up?
What's the deal with this Casey Anthony stuff, man? What's the deal with this old man freak out?
Tell us how you really feel.
Hold on.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you guys.
We got a sound clip. You just jump in whenever you want.
You go fry! Motherfucker, like a scrambled goddamn egg! Turn it up, man. Turn it up. I can hear this shit.
I'm looking for the remote.
This is it. That's a goddamn... Man, God, I'm gonna miss it!
They're not talking yet.
I want to hear this bitch fry.
This is before the verdict, by the way.
What is this from?
She deserves
it. Like an egg in the pan. You killed your goddamn daughter. You rubbed over a trash bag. You taped her fucking mouth. You gonna die.
You can tell this guy has no teeth.
Sounds like Bill Cosby.
He definitely
yeah,
doesn't.
Go ahead, Rob,
tell.
Go ahead.
How many counts are there?
So, you gonna die.
Yeah, pose him. Say, guilty.
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 Circuit Court for the 9th Judicial Circuit in Fort Orange County, Florida. State of Florida versus Casey Marie Anthony.
Here it is.
I mean, the jury
oh, baby in the
not guilty. So say we all.
What? Not guilty! God damn!
Hold on. What else is there?
As to the charge.
You think you're better than people.
All right.
She got on murder!
Hold on.
You get this one.
What is this
one? Not what? Guilty! You goddamn kidding me! That goddamn bitch go gun! That goddamn bitch! What's he do for a goddamn O.J. Simpson horseshoe? God damn!
Did he say hire O.J. Simpson lawyer Jew?
No, he found she found O.J. Simpson's horseshoe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard lawyer Jew.
No, lawyer Jew. Come on, Johnny Crocker was many things. He was not a Jew.
What? You're guilty. Oh my God! I give up. What kind of goddamn country we fucking live in with whores? When goddamn rather have their goddamn Peter than to goddamn take care of their own fucking youngins. Goddamn innocent. Man, where the fuck? Fuck Florida. You goddamn people in Florida. Fuck you, retarded bunch of bastards.
On that note, what do you think, Bernsey?
Bernsey, give us
your... And I thought that was the perfect segue to bringing me in, because fuck me in Florida, because this state is so wonderful and I love it so much. But now... The reason that I wanted to use that video, because I wanted to talk about the Casey Anthony trial, is because that shit was 8 blocks from my office every day of the week for like the past 3 months or whatever it was. And imagine that dude, but in the form of fat women with no jobs.
But do they also have no teeth?
Up and down the street trying to get into that damn trial. They were like getting into fist fights in line at the courthouse. It was just remarkable.
That sounds awesome.
I couldn't go to lunch at all for the past 3 months because they were taking all my restaurants and like eating all the food.
I'm just saying, if there's a big group of fat women with no teeth, I think there's an obvious solution.
I don't know if they obvious had teeth silver or not. Lining. I think they were just like they needed something to do until Twilight comes out.
Where's
my buzzer? Where's my buzzer?
Oh yeah.
I felt like 30 seconds.
Really ignited the women of America for some reason.
It was crazy, you know. I'm glad we got to talk about it, though. But moving along.
All right, what's next, Vince?
What's next on the docket?
Well, real quick, just curious, what was that sound clip from?
Was just some old dude who made the rounds last week after the verdict came out, and it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like how people care so much about these other people that not only have they never met, they never will. They probably didn't hear about it until about 2 weeks before.
That'd be like Brandon's reaction if someone decided that to outlaw Cannonball Dookies.
Yeah.
What? Fuck this country! Cannonball Dookies, best thing I ever seen! Best thing I ever saw!
Or if they outlawed poop transplants.
What? Fuck this
what?
Country!
What?
Bunch of retards!
I moved to Australia!
If I can't get another man poop in my butt, in my mouth, I ain't going to live here.
So, Bernsey, what is the deal with Moneyball?
Moneyball, of course, is the new Brad Pitt film that also stars Jonah Hill. And it's about the book of the same name, except this is a fictitious take on it. And I think it's going to be a terrible turd of a movie, but it's going to be good at the same time. And that makes no sense.
Do you want to hear it?
Do you want the sound
clip first?
Yeah, let's play a little clip from
that.
Right.
We're going to shake things up. Why don't you walk me through the board?
I believe there's a championship team that we could afford because everyone else undervalues them, like an island of misfit toys.
We want you at first base.
I've only ever played catcher.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, watch.
It's incredibly hard.
He can't throw.
But what can he do?
You want me to speak?
We're not pointing you yet.
He gets on base.
We are card counters at the blackjack table. We're going to turn the odds on the casino.
I'm heading in. Text me the play-by-play.
Wait, what?
I don't watch the games.
Snap.
Ah, he's a rebel. He plays by his own rules. It's so cool. But spoiler alert, they don't win. They never win. Well, and here's the only thing that can save this movie for me. I want like a half hour into the movie, all of a sudden Brad Pitt is replaced by like Chris Pine.
I'd like that.
And then like later on, Chris Pine is replaced by two actors. And they just keep replacing all the actors in the movies with younger, cheaper actors.
Kind of like that. Kind of like that Always Sunny episode where they switch roles. Yeah. They switch Murtaugh and Riggs halfway through.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, like, I just don't know what the point of this movie is.
Shouldn't they have tried to make this movie for a really, really low budget?
That's what he's saying, replacing the actors.
But keep going with that theme and just have it be really cheap and try to make the most amount of money per dollar that any movie's ever made.
Yeah, just
that's a good idea too. They could spend like $20 on it and get some homeless people to be the actors, and then
take a shit in a movie theater.
All the jerseys are made out of cardboard and just has A's on it.
Yeah, and then
body paint.
I don't really get the Moneyball movie. I read the book. It was an interesting book. I enjoyed it. And talk about a movie that will not play overseas. This is not one that's going to make raking much at the international box office.
I just feel the same way about it that I felt about The Blind Side, where The Blind Side was an awesome book that like had some really cool in-depth analysis on why the left tackle position is important.
Michael Lewis as well.
Yeah, also Michael Lewis, and also Michael Orr's story is like really cool. And then like they're like, it's not quite cool enough. We need to like Disney-fy it more. And you're like, oh God, it's like they can't get out of their own way. Like they have to like figure out, they're like, how can we fuck this up? Let's figure out how to fuck this up.
Well, part of it.
Let's add a bunch of like pointless exposition. He scored a 97 percentile of protective instincts.
Were you left tackle, Brendan?
I was.
Oh, so you relate.
So I've got an iron in the fire here.
He's also a retarded black child from the ghetto.
Yes.
Well, that I knew. I wasn't sure. I always forget if he's left tackle.
My mom taught him to read.
But
he lived with Vince growing up in Fresno.
And I got free Taco Bell from his dad's restaurants.
And Vince's mom is Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
She's tough. She's a tough lady. She's pretty, but don't underestimate her.
But there's a whole cool part of the book that doesn't get addressed in the movie, which is actually like this in-depth analysis. And actually starts really, the book actually starts out with the whole part about Lawrence Taylor coming around the edge and breaking Joe Theismann's leg. And that was kind of this turning point where they're like, okay, we need like really, athletic guys to block on the blind side.
We need to find someone with protective instincts that are off the charts.
We need to find someone who's good looking, witty, urbane, has a devil may care attitude.
Raised by Sandra Bullock after being abandoned.
We need to find someone with really loud orgasms.
Loud orgasms. Find poop jokes irresistibly funny.
Suck these jeans, Vince.
Why did I want you to suck my jeans? I forget.
I know, that kills me every time.
I think I spilled something on him.
Suck my jeans.
Oh.
Suck these jeans.
Oh, hold on. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, Bernsey.
That's literally from Frogcast, like, 22.
Oh, wow.
Is that? Well, why was I?
Yeah, do you know the context?
Why was
of
I
that?
Imploring
because,
Vince
because
to suck my
you
jeans?
You were interviewing your friend Ashley, who runs like a pageant magazine, and some woman.
Hey, that's Bernsey.
Bernsey, who's on right now.
Coming full circle.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Wow, this is so beta right now.
This
I'll
is
play
meta.
The bomb noise.
Wait.
Hey,
so,
hey, guess who's here? Birthday dog. Shannon, put birthday dog away.
Wakas, go back to sound effects.
Wait,
this is
no, Wakas,
disaster.
Like age.
Yeah,
hold on. So we were talking to Bernsey like 35 episodes ago.
Well, 45 minutes. He was talking about how some, like, one of his pageant girls' mom wanted to suck his jeans off.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right?
Yeah. I do remember that now.
I was at a modeling convention.
Right.
Yep. And I have a photographic retarded Frogcast memory, so.
Yeah, Wakas is like the unofficial Frogcast historian.
That's exactly right.
He's our Ken Burns.
I just picture him. I just picture him at his desk like a mad scientist. Like, hey, I should make a fake Brett remix.
I've almost figured it out.
And then his dog's right
I've
there. His dog's right there. Like, arr, arr. It's like, hey, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make a soundboard. Arr, arr.
I've almost got it.
All right, get out of here. We can't have this many people on at the same time.
You guys are gay. Peace.
All right, what's the next news story?
I think we can go to Cutie Patootie. I don't know if you guys... This is my new favorite song. Apparently she's retired, but I think we need to set this up with a song first. The slowed down version, of course.
Yeah, so this is like... Sorry, yeah.
What, go ahead.
I was going to just introduce...
Is this Rosie O'Donnell?
It's one of those like pageant kids.
Toddlers and
Tiaras. Yeah, Toddlers and Tiaras type girls, but there's kind of a meme on the internet where they take sound clips and slow them down, and she's got this clip that actually Justin Halpern sent Vince and I. That's brilliant.
This is the best of the slowdown.
Yeah.
Jams.
They call me Cutie. Walking out of the country, shaking my booty. Cutie. I'm more so drunk. I'm not snooty. See my face and my face. Baby, trying to hear you.
I know this whole song now. It's impossible to get out of your head once you get in there.
It really is.
It's all right, Bernsey, proceed.
Oh, wait, no. You want the story about how she retired first, right?
Yeah, this is momentous. I mean, this is huge, guys.
Especially if you work for a pageant magazine.
Well, I guess, but I'm saying you guys should care about this, too. She wants to be a superstar.
I care about it. It's...
This is the celebrity treatment.
Do you think Eden is bigger than pageants now?
I think she's following in the footsteps of some pretty big people that have done pageants, like Oprah Winfrey.
But Eden and her manager mother, Mickey, aren't done with showbiz. They're just trading in pageants for a bigger piece of the pie, hoping to build a mini Eden empire. From the Edenwood Princess Canopy Bed Collection to her own showgirl action figure.
That's
to
right.
A memoir from cradle to crown. Yes, all of this from a girl who hasn't even learned cursive yet.
She hasn't even fucking learned cursive?
She's 6 fucking years old.
It doesn't matter. She's not ever going to use it.
She's got an album out.
Well, she's about to have a memoir. What is that memoir like? Hey, I kind of learned almost how to read.
That little cunt stole my book deal.
Yeah, she did.
Vince Mancini waits patiently for his book deal.
So Vince,
meanwhile, Florida.
Hold on, this is Bernsey's Corner.
Meanwhile, in Florida.
Real quick, I just wanted to ask, Vince, how do you feel about a 6-year-old girl getting a book deal before you?
Feels good. Feels good.
All right.
Sorry, Bernsey, we're totally stepping on your dick.
She has more motivated management.
True.
It's 9:58 where you are. It's 5 in the morning where I am, so, you know.
Where are you at the Marianas Trench?
He's in space with Wakas.
All right, Bernsey, go.
I think it's a huge deal. I think we should all start writing down where we were on the day that Eden retired, because she's going to be huge, guys. She's got it at 6. Imagine what she's got at 12.
I'm thinking 10.
I'm waiting for that garden to grow, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's gross.
Wait, so Bernsey, since you're sort of, you know, this industry.
I'm an industry expert, you could say.
So, based on your expert analysis, where is Eden's career going? I mean, base it off of other famous child beauty queens, like, I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, how cutie is her patootie on a scale of...
Well, she's a pioneer, because... There ain't nobody famous right now that started where she started. I mean, Oprah didn't have a book deal at 6.
Fucking A.
Michelle Obama didn't have a book deal at 6.
Fucking A.
I mean...
In reality...
Elizabeth didn't have a book deal at 6.
Vince Mancini didn't have a book deal at 30.
And motherfucker has a... He has an ascot as a diploma.
To be fair, until Barack... taught Michelle the pass block. She was just a retarded orphan on the streets of Birmingham. And
Michelle got some sweet feet. Her kick step is on point.
But so, Bernsey, serious question. Is Eden actually a big timer in the Toddlers and Tiaras game? Or
yes.
It's really?
She's the absolute star of that show, from what I know. And I watch like every episode twice. And that's not even for work. I watch it twice on my own because I dig that shit.
Is there an NSFW version of the show I can watch somewhere?
No, I can't talk about that.
That's called not safe for anywhere because you're going to jail.
Yeah.
So really,
that's gross, man. I don't want to. That's poopy.
Yeah, but so seriously, she's actually a big deal in the.
Yeah, from what I know, she's like the star of the whole thing. So that's why this is so big. This is like, you know, Tootie quitting the facts of life.
Is this like Jordan retiring to play baseball?
Yeah, that's exactly what this is like. LeBron retiring to play baseball
to do toddler pageants.
Thank you, Bernsie. Yeah.
To write a memoir.
This is like LeBron writing a song called Cutie Patootie.
Do you have any info on what sort of the trundle beds or whatever, the line that she's releasing?
No, but I'm excited to see what kind of bed she's going to release.
What about, is she going to release a line of fake teeth for other toddlers to wear?
Why do they wear fake teeth?
Really? You didn't know this, Vince?
I think the fact that their teeth are small is their best quality.
No.
Sorry. Go on. I had to serve that one up.
Don't worry. We can edit that out later.
I wasn't implying anything. It's like small teeth.
Wait, what's up with the fake teeth?
Really? So a lot of them are at an age when they're missing several teeth. That is not a good look for a pageant.
Right.
So, and even the other ones that have any sort of, you know, you want perfect teeth. So it's almost like a mouth guard of fake teeth.
I like how Ben is astounded that I don't know this. Really? You don't know that?
Really?
I'm kind of pissed that you don't know it.
Yeah. See, I'm astounded. Bernsie's pissed.
This is common knowledge, man.
Bernsie, I don't work for Cutie Patootie Magazine. Sorry.
You don't have to. This is, you should just know this.
All right. What do we got next, Vince? No,
I guess we got Cutie Patootie next.
Bernsie wanted to talk about Kate Upton and Aaron Andrews at the All-Star game for some reason.
Well, I don't even know what's going on.
Why wouldn't I want to talk about them?
I don't know, because you can't see her.
We need to get her in the pool. That's all I'm here for.
Not at all. Do you enjoy baseball, softball?
I like to watch baseball, but I have never played.
Okay, now growing up.
Did you play growing up?
No, just always a fan.
This is riveting conversation.
Wait, who was she talking to?
That was Aaron Andrews was asking Kate Upton.
Who's Kate Upton?
Kate Upton's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Oh, I am no longer 12. I don't know Sports Illustrated swimsuit models anymore.
Yeah, but you're a blogger, so right off the bat,
I am not.
You know,
I'm not a blogger. I have a normal day job where I have to go like a monkey and sit in front of a computer.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
It's fun.
No, it's not. it's soul crushing. But I no longer have a subscription to Sports Illustrated, nor do I know the name, first and last name of every bikini model anymore.
I know them all. I should. I mean,
I got to pee real bad.
You guys gonna miss
me.
I knew them all.
So
I'm just saying that Kate Upton is exceptional, and she's a wonderful human being, and she doesn't seem very bright, which I think is awesome, and I think she should be involved with everything.
Is she your favorite current Sports Illustrated swimsuit model?
If I were ranking them right now, I'd say she's my number one.
She's number one. Interesting.
So,
okay.
Above or below Eden Wood?
Well, she's off to the side because she's going to be the best Sports Illustrated swimsuit model of all time.
That's like, you know, LeBron at when he was 15, we knew he was going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Eden at 6.
He put that blush on?
We're 12 years away.
You knew you were looking at a prodigy.
Yeah. You already know. She's driving around in little go-karts.
All right, Bernsie, why don't you take us home with one more story? What do we got? What else do we got? I think I'm out of sound clips.
Uh-oh. Vince came.
I want to do something. I want to predict the next big Hollywood remake.
Okay, proceed.
Because everything's being remade, so I want to make a prediction so I can say that I told you so, because it's going to happen.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot of comic book movies.
I have not noticed that.
No, there's been I think one or two. X-Men is starting that trend.
I haven't heard it. I'll have to check that out. I'm a big Wonder Woman fan.
We got a TV show of that.
What remake is next on the docket for Hollywood?
I'm predicting that they're going to remake Brewster's Millions.
All right.
That's with Nick Cannon.
Not bad. And
okay. Yeah, and who's the Gene Wilder?
Well, it was John Candy.
Oh, you're right. I apologize.
Boo. Yeah.
So who's the John Candy now that John Candy is no longer alive?
Well, I originally would have said Jonah Hill would have been perfect for it, but he decided to get all anorexic.
I peed. What did I miss?
You missed. Bernsey said the next big remake in Hollywood is going to be Brewster's Millions with Nick Cannon.
Oh.
And no.
That's my guess, and I'm going to put money on it.
All right, and so instead of Jonah Hill, who's it going to be?
Well, you need a fat white guy.
Have you heard of a man by the name of Paul Blart?
Paul Blart.
I was kind of good to that. Remember,
sorry, I got the name wrong. I meant Paul Blart, not Kevin James.
Yeah. Have you heard of the series of movies called Paul Blart Presents?
They can make it. They could make it. Paul Blart Presents Brewster's Millions.
Exactly.
Brewster's Millions.
Hey, I'm in.
Brewster's Millions of McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Brewster's Millions of troughs.
Brewster's
Millions. Yeah. Come on, that's just that writes itself.
Yeah,
it's already been written.
All right. Well, I'm pretty drunk. You guys want to take this thing home? Take it to bed.
All right. Well, Bernsey, anything you want to pump before we get out of here?
No. Just be good to each other and succeed in life.
Ooh. Oh, and give a shout out.
Don't kill your babies.
Good call.
And if you do, you have to report it. You can't just drive around with them in the back of your trunk.
And if you don't kill your babies, don't put them in pageants.
If you do kill your baby, make sure you kill your baby in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
Hey, she might have killed her baby, but she looked good doing it. Isn't that the important thing?
Oh, boo.
Oh, man.
Boo.
What looks are important nowadays?
A friend of mine lost his virginity to her like 4 years ago. So
what
is that a fact?
Yeah, that's fact.
Talk about burying the lead, bro.
Wait, four years.
Whoa! How is that not the sole item on Bernsey's corner? Why the fuck were we talking about Cutie Patootie when you were sitting on that one the whole time?
I don't know.
I don't know. My mind has just been blown,
Bernsey. You fuckface
storyteller.
Wait, so your friend...
Bernsey, I'm so mad at you right now.
I think this could be an exclusive interview that will...
Yeah.
Tell us about it. How was she?
You realize we have like 5 listeners at this point. When we start, we have like 10,000. No one makes it this far.
I'm barely here now.
So your friend...
Vince is going to have to put this on Film Drunk tomorrow.
Wait, so your friend lost his virginity
I don't
to her?
It.
Yeah. In college, yeah.
Wow. But it
was... Talk about...
Your friend lives in Florida and he was a virgin until college?
Yeah.
Oof.
But it was not his baby.
No, it was in a close enough time frame that he was legitimately worried for a little bit when he first started admitting it to everybody.
Wait, so how was the sex? Did she try to put like duct tape over his mouth during it?
I don't know. You know, I didn't really get that.
Did he pretend that he was her brother?
I think he pretended that he was her dad.
Oh man.
So do you have any details that you can share?
I don't, but I can, you know, get some and report back.
Next Bernsey's corner. There needs to be details.
You're fucking fired for leaving that till the end.
We're teasing everybody.
Bernsey, I am irate with you right now.
Next week on the Fruitcast.
That's what you get for making me wait so long.
He could sell that story to the tabloids.
Bernsey,
No, she was a whore. She slept her way around this city ridiculously. So he's like, you know, Tiger's 23rd mistress by this point.
Yeah, his night probably didn't. I mean, if he was losing his virginity, he probably had the shortest story.
You know what? If Tiger's 23rd mistress wants to come on the Fraudcast, we'll have her too.
I could probably find her.
Yeah,
actually, I've got a friend who made out with Tiger while he was married. So,
guy or girl?
Girl.
Okay.
Was she a pageant queen?
Was this Eden?
Was it Eden?
All right. Let's put this one to bed.
All right,
Bernsey, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, boys.
Justin, thanks for coming on earlier. Mighty Feckler, get well soon. Wakas, thanks for manning the soundboard and being patient on your space shuttle circling Earth. Brendan, take us on out of here.
Fraudcast@gmail.com. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, let's be honest, it's probably mostly gentlemen. Good night and good chins.